along the way concerning the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Hebrew writer says this: "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The quick and powerful word, the alive, the word quick means the alive and powerful word. Tonight, I believe you would agree with me that we're living in a world of change, a world of death, and a world of dissolution, and a world of decay. The scriptures themselves talk so much about death. Scriptures like Hebrews 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die. Scriptures like James 4 and verse 14. "For what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away." Scriptures like Job chapter 14 and verse number 1. "If a man die, shall he live again?" Psalms chapter 90 and verse number 10. We even refer to that one this morning. "All of our days are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength in sorrow, but we'll soon cut down and we fly away." Talking about death. But thanks to our God in heaven, in the midst of all this death that the scriptures talk about and all the decay that we are aware of, there is something that is not dead and will never die. And it is the Word of God. Again, Hebrews 4 and verse 12 teaches us that. That it is alive. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 teaches us that. That the Word of God endureth forever. Matthew 25 and verse 35 teaches us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So this evening, what a source of comfort it is to know that the word of God is living and it will not die. It is active and it is powerful. So we should be a people that thank God each and every day for his word. So tonight I want to look at a few passages that demonstrate the living and the powerful word of God, and to let us see how God's word is living and it is active, how it acted in certain cases and how it will still act even until the end of time and we'll be alive. I want to look at three cases in the Bible tonight that demonstrates the power of God's word, this powerful word that we're talking about. I want to look at the case of Naaman very briefly, the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to look at the blind man that was born blind, John chapter 9. And then I want to look at Lazarus, who was raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And I believe these three cases would be enough to hopefully bolster our confidence in this powerful word of God. Because again, it is quick and it is powerful. When we go to 2 Kings chapter 5, and about the first 14 verses there, we won't be reading all those tonight, but we'll just be
referring to some of them. We perhaps might read a few of them. But this is the case, as we are aware, I'm sure, of Naaman, this captain in the Syrian army, who the Bible says was a leper. And we know what a dreadful disease leprosy was in that day and time. But that was a little maid, a little servant girl, a young lady who waited on Naaman. And she said something to him that would give him hope if he would just follow through. She said, if my Lord were down there in Samaria where the prophet was, that he would recover thee of thy leprosy. And of course, Naaman went to the king, and the king gave him a letter. But he sent him to the king of Israel. But that was the wrong place to go, to the king of Israel. He went to the wrong source for help for his problem. That's not where the young girl said. She didn't say the king of Israel. She said a prophet down there would help you. The Bible says this in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. You see where he sends him? And you see where he will see in just a moment where he goes? To the king of Israel. And it came to pass, the Bible says, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent or he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So he goes to the king with this letter. He goes to the wrong source. And so oftentimes, even tonight in our lives, if we're not careful, we will look to the wrong source for the answer to our problem. We look to what somebody else said. We look to what somebody else thought about it, rather than looking to the word of God to help us in our situation. So he goes to the wrong source, and the king of Israel knows that he doesn't have the power to do this. Why are you coming to me? But thank God, this prophet that the little maid was talking about heard about Naaman coming to the king. And he says, let him come to me. Let him come to me and he'll know there is a prophet in Israel. So he goes then to the house of Elisha. But Elisha, mind you now, the story says, doesn't even come out to greet him. And of course, this upsets Naaman. And he again has in his own mind how he's going to be healed from his leprosy. Again, sometimes the reason why we're not blessed sometimes the way we need to be blessed is because we have in our own mind how God is going to bless us. We've already figured the thing out. Well, if we've already figured out, why go to God in the first place? That's wasted time. So Naaman had already figured out how he was going to be blessed. Elijah sends this messenger out to Naaman. And the messenger tells Naaman what Elijah has said. Being a prophet is one that speaks for God. And we have no indication that Naaman lied. We do have an indication that an old prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 lied. But we have no indication here that Elisha rather lied. So we have every reason to believe that Elisha told the messenger exactly what God wanted him to tell him. And so he tells Naaman what to do. And here's what he says. Go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And of course, again, Naaman got his own ideas. And he says as much. Why do I need to go to the River Jordan? Aren't the rivers of Abana, Farfar, are any of the rivers of Damascus, aren't they just as well? Is that what the messenger said? That wasn't what the messenger said. The messenger says, go to Jordan. Now the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, skipping just a little bit, the Bible says he goes away in a rage, but he's convinced to come back. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to what? The saying of the man of God. We could read this another way and say this, that he dipped himself 7 times according to the word of God. Now, when he did it according to the word of God, the Bible says, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a what? Little child, and he was clean. What did the maid say? I would, my Lord, that if you were down there in Samaria, there's a prophet down there that could cleanse you of your leprosy. So when he finally gets to the prophet, and the prophet sends him the message of the word of God, and when he is convinced to go back and do it God's way, then he's clean. You know why he was clean? It wasn't because of the water. It was because of his obedience to the word of God. Why? Because the power was in the word of God. No wonder Paul would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. God placed the power in the word. So when he obeyed the word, then God's power was unleashed in his life. And he was clean. Why? Because the word of God is powerful. It's alive. It's active. It acted in Naaman's life when he obeyed the word of God. So again, I'm saying to us this evening, when we obey the word of God, whatever God wants to accomplish in our lives, it will be. But when we are stubborn like Naaman, have our own ideals like Naaman, it'll never happen as God intends for it. So let God's word be active in our lives. Let us be obedient to the word of God. So the power, again, was not in the water. Just like in baptism, somebody said, well, I don't see anything in the water. The power is not in the water. The power is in what God says, do. He says, get in the water and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So the power is in the word of God. Truly we can say tonight then, amen, brother Hebrew writer. The word is quick and powerful. In the second case, in John chapter 9, the first 7 verses there, we have the account of a man that was born blind. He was born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, who did sin? Or rather the Pharisees, or whoever says, who did sin? Was it the man, or was it his parents? And Jesus says, neither one of them. This didn't happen because his parents sinned. It didn't happen because he sinned. But this happened that the work of God may be made manifest. We can say and read it again that the power of God can be seen in this situation. Oh, how we need to see the power of God even tonight.
So the Bible says in verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, talking about Jesus, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Verse 7 says this, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That's the word of Jesus. That's the word of God. The word says what? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Was the power in the spittle, the little mixture of clay? It wasn't there. If he had not obeyed the word of Christ, all he would have had was some muddy eyes. But because he obeyed the word of Christ, the Bible says he came away seeing. Why? Because there's power in the word. The word is powerful. His neighbors, as the scripture goes on and gives the account, his neighbors who knew him when he grew up, They recognize him as being the man that was born blind. And others there, the Bible says, no, that's not him. It looks like him. Just somebody that looked like him. Well, he put that to rest. He says, I am he. I'm the one. And then they asked him the question, well, since you're the one, how did you receive your sight? Listen to what he says in verse number 11. And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Again, the power wasn't in the spittle. It wasn't in the clay. It was in the word and his obedience to the word of Christ. And he came away seeing. Again, we just have to say amen again, Brother Hebrew writer. The word of God is quick and is powerful. It was active in this man's life. It was powerful in his life. And he went away seeing because he did what? He received the word of God and he obeyed the word of God. And he got the results that God intended. And then the third case. The case of Lazarus. We know the story of Lazarus, of course, who after some days of being sick, he died. And his sister sent for Jesus. And of course, Jesus delayed his coming there. And after some 4 days, he had been buried in the grave. And Jesus was there. And Jesus says, show me why you laid it. Then down about verse number 41 of John chapter 11. The Bible says this. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Then verse 43 says this. And when he had thus spoken, in other words, after he had prayed this prayer, he says something else. The Bible says he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened, church? Lazarus came forth. The power, you see, was in the word that he spoke. Lazarus, come forth. I want to say to us tonight that when Christ and when God speaks to the dead, things happen because his word is that powerful.
And that same word that called Lazarus from the dead, one of these days, is going to call us from the dead. Not only will it call us, it is going to call everybody from the dead. The Bible says this in John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, the Bible says, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, going to hear his word, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Again, truly, the word of God is quick and is powerful. That word is going to call us from the dead. And we're going to have to answer that word. Sometimes we can hear somebody speaking to us and we may not answer. You know, when I was growing up, I may have tried to ignore my mama. She said, boy, didn't you hear me? I can't ignore Christ when he calls me from the dead. I'm going to have to get up. And you're going to have to get up. And everybody is going to have to get up from the dead. And even before we close tonight, just remember about this powerful word, even in creation. Everything that happened in creation was a result of the word being spoken. And it wouldn't have happened if there had not been power in the word. Starting in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. What did God say? Let there be light. Light didn't have to think about it. Light came on the scene. Why? Because the power of God's word produced light. Amen. And then you continue through the creation and everything that happened, the firmament and the waters and all of that thing that came on the scene. It all happened because of the word of God. You read there, and God said this. And you read a little bit further, and it was so. You read a little bit further and God said that. I'm paraphrasing. You read a little bit further and it was so. Because God said it, it happened. And it happened because there was power in the word of God that he was speaking. And even Peter, when he said to his hearers in his day and time, and he says in the last day, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning about verse number 1 on down, he says, that scoffers are going to come and they're going to be mocking and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Because even, you know, since the flood, all things remain as they are. But then he says this in verse number 5, but they being ignorant of this word that kept these heavens of old, this same word, he says, they are sustaining the world, I'm paraphrasing again, the world now, and they're going to sustain it even until the end of time. Why? Because there's power in the word of God. Let us not then allow anybody to tell us that the word of God is a dead letter, that the word of God was written by men, and therefore it's not that important. The word of God is powerful. And it will produce what God wants it to produce. It's not going to come back to him void. I said this, I think, somewhere along the line last week, that it's going to either condemn us or it's going to save us. One of two things are going to happen. The power of God's word. So let's believe in God's word being powerful. Since we know then that God's word is so powerful, it ought to, again, as I've said earlier, it ought to bolster our confidence in his word. As a matter of fact, these three cases that I mentioned tonight, they were all would be considered as miracles. And miracles, the Bible says, were done for the express purpose of developing faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. So may we then forever trust and obey his word in all things that he asks of us in our lives, because it is powerful, it is quick, And it is sharper, the Bible says, than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we can't fool God about what we were thinking. We can't fool God about what we were intending. God knows it because of his power and because of his word. That's why I said this morning that our hearts need to be given to God in all things, because he knows our hearts and he's going to judge our hearts. And who's a better judge than the righteous judge? Man, again, not going to give us justice. Only God is going to be the one that will judge us right. So I'm thankful then tonight, I know you're thankful, that there's power in the word of God. And it's not dead, it's active, it's alive. Let us then continue to trust in the word of God. If you're here then this evening, and you're subject to the gospel, we want to encourage you to realize that the word of God, again, is God's power to save. Nobody will be saved unless they obey the word of God. Hear and believe the gospel, repent of your past sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be buried in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will save you and add you to his church. Live faithful unto death. And he said, I'll give you a crown of life. Have confidence in that. Believe in that. Live by that. Because God will not, cannot, and it's impossible for him to lie. Why not come to the Lord this evening if you need to? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you've allowed Satan to deceive you or somebody to encourage you not to put your confidence in the word of God. Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. So get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to get back to doing and living like God wants me to live. If you're here tonight and you need prayer, somebody say, what you going to pray for? You can handle that on your own. There are some things that we just can't handle on our own. We need God's help. God's word still says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you need to come tonight in any fashion, we beg you to come right now while we're standing and while we're singing.
Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is a day of salvation. And death.